You're listening to a podcast of Health Talk with Dr. Ronald Hoffman from 710 WOR HD, New York. For more information on WOR and details on how to join our listener club, please visit WOR710.com.
Mark your calendars now. The Classic Taste of New York is coming Monday, October 22nd. For tickets, visit WOR710.com.
Welcome to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. From time to time, something comes to me that I feel is important to share with our radio listeners, our audience, because breakthrough therapies come and go. And on this edition of Health Talk, I'm going to share one with you that I think is going to have a big impact in the future of medicine. And it's a therapy that I personally came upon in the 1980s. Yes, that was in the 20th century. It sounds kind of hard to say that, but many years ago I came across this therapy as a therapy to treat HIV. In those days, there wasn't much available to treat HIV, and this was a promising therapy. It appeared initially to work, but soon came the advent of new powerful drugs, and this superseded this gentle therapy, which works with the body's own defense systems to help cure a myriad of medical conditions. Now, in the 21st century, comes new interest and new scientific validation in mainstream medical journals of the powers of this therapy that unlocks the body's own immune system to heal. And so it is that I've invited a guest. He's a doctor of pharmacy. He received his doctorate in the study of pharmaceutical science at the University of Florida with the highest honors. He's Dr. Skip Lenz, referred to by many who value his opinions as Dr. Skip. Dr. Skip also has a compounding pharmacy. It's called Skip's Pharmacy. And he's got all kinds of publications. He's a consultant to many vitamin companies and to big pharmaceutical firms. He's got all kinds of connections in the pharmaceutical field. And so he's eminently qualified to talk about today's subject. It's a pleasure having you on the program, Dr. Skip.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, give us some background on how you came across the substance in question that we're going to talk about today.
Well, in 1999, I was at a lecture on multiple sclerosis, and it's kindly referred to as a garbage can diagnosis because if you don't have anything else, I guess you have multiple sclerosis. The treatments were horrendous. The side effects were terrible. And this one particular treatment looked very interesting to me, so I got involved with the world of multiple sclerosis. My patient number one, who was a internet surfer, came across Dr. Bahari's name, Bernard Bahari, from up in your neck of the woods, Manhattan.
Can I just intercede for a moment to
sure.
Tell people just a little bit about Dr. Bahari? In the 1980s, yeah. I presume I'm a little older than you, Dr. Skip, because you seem to have graduated a little later than I did.
Okay.
I will say rather charitably towards myself. But I actually knew Dr. Bahari in the 1980s. He was, middle-aged in those days. And he was an individual who did some research on a substance that we're going to discuss in just a moment that seemed to enhance the immune system to treat HIV. And he had a big following. There were a lot of AIDS patients. They didn't know what to do. There weren't any treatments whatsoever. Patients seemed to be getting better, so there was a lot of interest in this therapy. And as I said, because the big gun drugs were introduced, after a while, people lost interest in this rather gentle immune modulating therapy that seemed to help patients, but, clearly wasn't something that was the ultimate cure, the panacea, and that's what happens. When there's no panacea, people sometimes walk away from promising therapies.
Absolutely. Well, my patient number one got me in touch with Dr. Bahari, who I think is, with his work with this drug, should be a Nobel laureate. I'm a cynical old researcher. I don't believe in mirrors and smoke and everything else. I want to see the facts. I want to see the data. And so I questioned, whether this thing was going to work. I mean, it was another one of those things that could work, maybe work, should work. You had a lot of anecdotal data that it was working. As a matter of fact, one of Dr. Bahari's original HIV patients is still kicking, still not taking drugs other than low-dose naltrexone. He was at our...
And that's this is the first time we've mentioned this, low-dose naltrexone.
Yeah.
And can we, could just back up a second, and what is it? I mean, is it a vitamin? Is it an herbal substance? Is it a drug?
It's actually a drug. The labeled indications are for either opioid addiction or alcohol addiction. It is a very potent drug in that realm. Dr. Bahari saw... and this might be urban myth, but this is what I remember of our conversations. He had patients who were addicts and were on naltrexone, and their T4s were increasing.
That's the critical immune cells
exactly.
That when they're low, that defines AIDS.
Exactly. When I was involved with AIDS, it was under 200. I don't quite know what it is now.
Helper T cells.
Yeah. Anyway, he saw some improvements in being the man that he is, and he put two and two together and started to use it in other areas. Fast forward about 5-6 years, and his daughter had a friend with multiple sclerosis, and he said, it's an autoimmune disease, why not? We're going to give it a try. The young lady was exacerbation-free. She had relapsing, remitting multiple sclerosis. Average time to exacerbation is about 3 years. She had no exacerbations. She grew up, and I believe she went off to a summer retreat, didn't take her naltrexone with her, and 4 or 5 days later had an exacerbation. Got right back on the naltrexone, has not had one since. Now, you hear those stories, and being cynical, one questions the veracity of them. In the following 8 years since my first conversation with Dr. Bahari, we have done 3 surveys. They're not studies, I'm told. They're surveys. The first survey was on side effects. The second survey was just a continuation of the side effects. People, what side effects are you having? How are you feeling? We're now, and I was crunching numbers this afternoon on our third survey. This is a longitudinal survey. We're looking at people that have been on naltrexone for a long period of time. The questions that are asked basically for the MS patients are, when was your last exacerbation? When was your exacerbation before going on LDN? And the interesting thing is that the numbers, rough numbers, we're looking at better than 4 years. So we're beating the average on the relapsing remitting. What makes this even more fascinating as a drug is you begin to hear the anecdotal information from a lot of different diseases. Chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease. Now, the Crohn's disease is not anecdotal. Dr. Jill Smith down in Pennsylvania has finished one study and is in the midst of her second study. It's being supported by the NIH, which is big guns, big money.
And in fact, that study was entitled Low-Dose Naltrexone Therapy Improves Active Crohn's Disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a very mainstream journal, the American Journal of Gastroenterology, this year.
Exactly.
And what they found, this was done at Penn State University's College of Medicine, they found that two-thirds of the patients in a pilot study went into remission.
Yeah.
Fully 89% of the group responded to treatment to some degree. So that's pretty good, considering that we have a disease that responds partially, if at all, to the strongest medicines that we have available. There's no cure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the potential scope of the benefits of this new and innovative approach to harnessing the body's innate immune response to heal a wide variety of diseases. Our guest is Dr. Skip Lenz, and I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Health Talk. Welcome to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I'm proud to announce that we now have podcasts. Last month, we had over 40,000 downloads of our podcast. That means you can listen to this program anytime you like. Send it to a friend. If you've got a friend or family member with cancer, an autoimmune disease like multiple sclerosis or Crohn's disease or chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, this may be an important podcast for them to hear. You can obtain a podcast at WOR710.com. Our guest is Dr. Skip of Skip's Pharmacy. Dr. Skip Lenz is a PhD in pharmacy sciences, and he's an expert on today's subject, which is low-dose naltrexone. Now, Dr. Skip, naltrexone, you say, is something that originated in the treatment of addicts. A lot of people are going to say, well, I don't want to take something like methadone and exchange my health problem for dependency on an opiate drug, or, you know, get groggy or go through withdrawal. And is this a problem with naltrexone?
No, actually, it's the opposite. And it's a question that I get a lot because of, you know, what the drug was. It actually blocks the effects of the opioids or the alcohol. So it's exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, one of the interactions and something that people have got to be very concerned with is taking an opioid or drinking to, you know, a large extent. They can't. That's one thing that's contraindicated.
So in other words, so if say we're using it in the treatment of cancer, but
yeah,
somebody's on has a lot of cancer-related pain, is on strong painkillers that may contain codeine or opiates, that's not, you can't use naltrexone.
No, you can't use naltrexone.
Okay.
What happens is that the analgesic is less effective, and you don't want that. And the whole issue here is stressing the systems. Pain stresses the system. That's not positive for any outcome. So it is a contraindication. It's interesting that you mentioned chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. We're involved with a group in the government, interestingly enough, who are treating guys coming back from Iraq. Seems like there is a increase in fibromyalgia and or chronic fatigue.
It's kind of like a 21st century version of Gulf War syndrome.
Exactly, exactly. The one story that I like telling, there is a colonel in the Air Force who is who was a marathon runner, unfortunately was vaccinated, and they are trying to tie the vaccination in with this chronic fatigue. Went to
vaccine,
Iraq.
Vaccine, stress, chemicals.
Exactly. The whole,
poor diet.
Exactly. The whole nine yards. Anyway, he was going to be basically drummed out because he was sleeping 18 hours a day, and that's not conducive to a warrior. He came back. He did some research. He got on naltrexone. Several weeks after he was on it, he called me up. He was a very irate individual and wanted to know what I had put in this drug,
okay,
whether it was a an illegal narcotic or something.
He thought you were a Dr. Feelgood with
exactly
some illicit
and
amphetamines in there.
Exactly, and you know, obviously I didn't, and he is just thrilled. He was one of the people who was contacted, and his quality of life, we tried to use a scale, his quality of life went from a 1 to about an 8. He's not running as quickly as he did, but he's running better. So I'm very intrigued and very happy that you know, maybe we can look at that in a more serious manner.
Well, explain how this might work, because it doesn't seem obvious to a lot of people how something that is used to prevent addicts from taking heroin could possibly improve the immune system or cure any kind of disease.
Okay, well, simply put, what happens is there are receptor sites on cells. There are places where drugs combine with the cell and elicit a response. In the world of opioids, it's pain relief. If you partially block that, what happens is the body says to itself, well, I need more endorphins. Now, endorphins are the things that you get from runner's high. It's the feel-good chemical of the body. It's a chemical that increases during labor so that women supposedly don't have to take analgesics. There is a combination, there is a connection, there is a correlation that's not clearly identified yet. There's been a lot of theories that this stimulates, this partial blockade of these receptors stimulates the production of endorphins. The increase in endorphins has a correlation with the proper modulation, and I'm using that term very specifically, modulation of the immune system. That modulation means that if there are some diseases that have too many of these immune cells, they will go down. The concentration in the blood will be reduced. Likewise, and this is the novel thing, I don't know of another drug like this, and I've been searching. Likewise, those cells in the immune system that are too low increases. Now, I think Jill Smith's data supports that. So it is a true immune modulator.
It's not like some drugs are immunosuppressive, drugs
exactly,
like methotrexate, prednisone. Mm-hmm. We know they shut the immune system down,
exactly,
which is okay in autoimmune diseases, but then in diseases like cancer, they may allow the cancer to flourish. So we have to have a modulating effect, not a shutting down effect,
right,
to individualize therapy to different conditions.
Well, the interesting thing is that this drug treats a myriad of problems, some of them being too much of something, and some of those diseases of not being enough of something.
Okay, hold that thought now, because when we come back, we have a fixed break coming up. We're going to talk about the spectrum of medical conditions for which low-dose naltrexone, a novel therapy that unleashes the potential of the immune system. We're going to talk about the conditions that it might hold promise for. Our guest is Dr. Skip Lenz. He is the owner of Skip's Pharmacy and an expert on low-dose naltrexone. This is Health Talk.
Mark your calendar for the tastiest WOR event of the year, the Classic Taste of New York, coming Monday, October 22nd. For tickets, visit WOR710.com.
Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our subject is low-dose naltrexone and its potential to heal a myriad of medical conditions. Sounds too good to be true, but evidence is mounting that this may be a potential therapy for a wide variety of conditions. Our guest today is Dr. Skip Lenz, a PhD in pharmaceutical science, and Dr. Lenz is an expert on this subject. There's a website that is an excellent resource for those who want more information about low-dose naltrexone. It's lowdosenaltrexone.org. Also, Dr. Skip, do you have a website?
Yes, we do. SkipsPharmacy.com.
SkipsPharmacy, one word, .com.
Yes, sir.
No apostrophe.
No apostrophe.
Okay. So now let's go through the spectrum of conditions that low-dose naltrexone may be helpful for. There are a bunch of researchers looking into this, and physicians like myself are beginning to get their feet wet in treating patients with a wide variety of conditions. But let's start with some of the autoimmune conditions. What are some of the conditions that appear to be amenable?
Crohn's disease, absolutely. The HIV/AIDS problem. Multiple sclerosis. Rheumatoid arthritis.
I recently started one of our lupus patients on it.
Exactly.
Because I think there's been some case reports with lupus as well.
Exactly, and I think she's probably one of ours because I have a lupus patient that we did was part of our survey, and she's feeling a whole lot better than she did. As a matter of fact, she's off her Tylenol 3, I think is what she was on. I might be wrong there.
So I have a question for you. If you're on, say you're on an immune suppressive drug, or you're on prednisone, or you're on 6-MP, and you're a pharmacist, so you know about interactions, will this work even if you're on such a medicine, or does that wash out the effect?
It washes out the effect.
Okay, so in other words...
Any immunomodulator, which is, we'll use it in the generic term, both stimulation as well as suppression.
Right.
There has been no data that I have seen that would suggest that it's appropriate to use. I always recommend, when you're dealing with the MS, which is where most of my experience has been, the interferon type of drugs you have to come off of them.
So they're going to push you in a different direction to counteract
the effects. I think the disease being modulated by these opioid receptors, I think we've got to start getting away from thinking of disease as, autoimmune. I think we've got to start looking at what is going to work for these things. And I know that's a subtle distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But anything with an opioid receptor should be, this should work for. Anything.
How about psoriasis?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and that's another very interesting thing. The psoriasis people have come on board in a big way, and on some of the webs, you hear a lot of talk from them now where they're getting some relief. So
so there are blogs and chats that describe the benefits.
Exactly, and my fear has always been with this that it will become a nepenthe, which is an old Greek term for the silver bullet for everything. You take this and all of your diseases will go away.
Right.
Clearly that's not the case. But I'm at a loss for a disease that this isn't going to... Parkinson's. I have a very...
Parkinson's as well.
Yeah, I have a very good friend whose wife has... an early onset Parkinson's, not unlike Michael Fox's, and she hasn't been quote unquote cured, but she has not had to progress on her doses for 3 years.
Okay, so it stabilizes whatever the process is. Again, maybe restore the destroyed basal ganglia cells.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but they're not increasing their doses, which is one of the problems with Sinemet or those types of drugs. You increase your dose until the side effects just kill you. You can't, you can't function because of the side effects. Your Parkinson's disease is being treated, but at what expense?
Right. So. Now, there's a tremendous amount of interest in the autism community about low-dose naltrexone, and I'm beginning to hear from some of my colleagues who treat kids that they're using it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that valid?
Absolutely. Dr. McChandless out in California and in Hawaii has been treating patients interestingly enough, with a transdermal preparation, and has had some very excellent results. Some 7,000 patients. I believe that she has the largest population, and she's getting fairly quick results.
I read about a study in a dermatology journal where they use this as a topical cream for intractable skin itching conditions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a very, very substantial success rate. How could it possibly work at the skin level?
I don't know.
But there are definitely opioid receptors in skin cells, and
exactly.
Maybe that's part of why people have skin pain or skin itching,
exactly.
Because those receptors are out of kilter.
Exactly. Now, there's a difference between the topical preparation and the transdermal preparation.
Right.
The transdermal preparation actually will give you a blood level.
It's supposed to go into your system.
It will go into the blood system. The topical is a little different preparation. And it remains topical. It treats the skin.
And are you having physicians call in prescriptions to Skip's Pharmacy for a topical for skin itching and irritation?
Yes.
Okay. I think the research was on a 1% formula.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Okay. Let's switch gears, and we may not complete the discussion. We'll come back after a break, but let's begin to tackle the issue of cancer. Very controversial,
mm-hmm.
because here we're making bold claims that a low dose of a medication that couldn't possibly kill cancer cells could somehow influence the course of cancer. How could that be?
Well, I think what you have to look at again is what the cell is, and if there is an opioid receptor on that cell, and what does that opioid receptor do? Okay, if the LDN works directly on the opioid receptor, you are going to induce cancer cell death. How? Maybe it increases natural killer cells. Maybe there are immune defenses that you can stimulate that will kill the cancer cell.
Well, it stands to reason, because there are actually some studies that suggest that exercise, which generates endorphins,
exactly.
improves the prognosis of, say, breast cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
We run for the cure, we march for the cure.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps what we have in low-dose naltrexone is sort of endorphins in a pill, or runner's high in a pill.
Right.
That may somehow tune up the immune system to help combat these diseases. Because I haven't experienced this directly yet in my practice, but I'm willing to explore. But I've heard remarkable stories of recovery from very advanced forms of cancer using just LDN and, some nutritional support that without LDN probably wouldn't cut it.
Well, the interesting thing is Dr. Bahari is probably the expert on this. He had, and the last time I spoke with him, which was probably 3 or 4 years ago, unfortunately, he had an accident, so he's not actively practicing.
I guess he's getting on in years as well.
Yeah, exactly. But he was more impressed with the cancer than he was with the HIV, which is interesting.
It says on the website, it says Dr. Bahari, as of mid-2004, reported having treated over 300 patients,
mm-hmm.
who had a cancer that had failed to respond to standard treatments, and of that group, some 50% after 4 to 6 months treatment with LDN began to demonstrate a halt in cancer growth, and of those, over one-third have been shown to have objective signs of tumor shrinkage.
Right.
So, while it's not a magic bullet or a panacea, there seems to be promise in supporting treatment of cancer. All right, we need to get to a break. When we return, we'll talk more about the healing potential of an innovative medication, low-dose naltrexone, that's getting a lot of buzz these days among people suffering from a wide range of disorders. Our guest, Dr. Skip Lenz, and I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Want to learn more about low-dose naltrexone? You can go to Dr. Skip's website, which is skipspharmacy.com. There's an LDN Q&A with Dr. Skip that will answer lots of your questions. And Dr. Skip, I mean, this sounds, well, it's one of those too-good-to-be-true stories. This stuff has got to be awfully expensive or hard to get your hands on, maybe something that you have to smuggle in from outside the country. What's the scoop?
Well, it's most of the compounding pharmacists who, if you go to that lowdosenaltrexone.org website, we've been in it probably the longest. I think the therapies are going to range anywhere from $20 a month to maybe up to $40 or $50 a month, depending on, you know, which pharmacy that you are dealing with. You know, while we were on break, I just thought about the guys from Ireland who were over at NIH last year. Peter Boyle is a reproductive specialist.
Yes, I was going to ask you about infertility. Yeah.
It's an unbelievable. We used to ship things over to him until he got a pharmacist over there who was trained on how to do this the right way. And the other gentleman is a Dr. Crowley, who wrote an article on LDN for their National Medical Journal.
Yeah, I looked at their presentation.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Very interesting.
In couples who have failed to conceive by any other means, I mean, with all the high-tech means available, mm-hmm. low-dose naltrexone just did something to adjust their immune system to allow conception to occur.
Exactly. And I speak to Dr. Boyle on an infrequent basis. Dr. Crowley is over enjoying our Florida sun on a regular basis, and so I get to speak to him on many occasions, and it's remarkable. You know, what can you say about this? It's not a silver bullet, but it's scary. As a scientist, as a person who has dedicated my whole life to science, this stuff is scary. Because it's being used for so many things successfully. Not, you know, well, it's going to decrease the disease state or, you know, you're going to get a little better. There are people who are reporting in our survey that it's 2 or 3 days after they start taking it mm-hmm. that they are starting their symptoms. Whatever their symptoms are, whatever their disease state is getting better.
All right, we're going to break at this point. We'll come back and we'll sum up on the fascinating subject of a new therapeutic intervention for a wide variety of medical conditions, autoimmune conditions, degenerative diseases, and even cancer. It's low-dose naltrexone. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman with our guest, Dr. Skip Lenz, and this is Health Talk. Back to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Here's a partial list of conditions reported to respond to low-dose naltrexone in addition to many cancers, ALS, Alzheimer's disease, autism, celiac disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, Crohn's disease, emphysema, endometriosis, fibromyalgia, HIV, irritable bowel syndrome, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, pemphigoid, psoriasis, rheumatoid arthritis, sarcoidosis, scleroderma, lupus, ulcerative colitis, Wegener's granulomatosis, tremendous potential for this therapeutic agent. And our guest is Dr. Skip Lenz. Dr. Skip, to his many readers and the clients of Skip's Pharmacy. And Dr. Skip, where is this going? Where is the research headed? Any new conferences or new research projects?
Yeah, there's an MS project going on right now out in California. There is also one going on in Italy. Dr. McChandless is trying to put together something for Mali. They're running into some roadblocks with the government. But they're going to be doing
it's hard
HIV.
To get studies done. Yeah,
yeah they're going to try to do an HIV thing out there. There's a couple cancer things that are going on. The fibromyalgia thing at Walter Reed is happening. So it has really piqued the interest of a lot of different people who are not closed-minded to new therapies. And I think this is probably, in my opinion, the most significant thing that has come out of the pipe since penicillin.
And you're a pharmacist.
Yeah,
so that's
I'm
quite
cynical.
A statement.
Yeah, right. I'm a cynical old guy.
Yeah. Well, just in conclusion, you know, we just have a few seconds left. How do you take this stuff, and where do you obtain it from? You can't just buy it off your website. You have to get a prescription.
Yeah, you have to get a prescription from your physician. They can call any of those guys on the naltrexone.org and get all sorts of information.
It's lowdosenaltrexone.org, one word, lowdosenaltrexone.org.
Right. It's 4.5 milligrams is the target dose at bedtime. And
just take it once.
Just take it at bedtime.
Okay, so it's not, you know, 14 doses throughout the day, you know, away from food. It's fairly convenient to take.
Absolutely.
Side effects?
The only side effect, and I'm talking like the guy with the hair, that not only am I a customer, I'm a taker.
Right.
The only side effects are sleep disturbances, and they will go away.
So if you get through, you know, the first few days, maybe.
Absolutely.
Okay, so thank you very much, Dr.
You're
Skip.
Welcome.
Dr. Skip Lenz, for sharing your perspective on this unique therapeutic agent. We'll be hearing more about it. It's low-dose naltrexone. And more information at skipspharmacy.com with a useful Q&A. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Health Talk.
You've been listening to a podcast of Health Talk with Dr. Ronald Hoffman from 710 WOR HD, New York. For more information on WOR and details on how to join our listener club, please visit WOR710.com.